And that's not unusual for that antenna.
It's not unusual at all. From out of the box to on the air, it's about 10 minutes, and you can be working DX.
Can you hear those guys in your headphones?
I can hear them.
Matt says it's not going out over the air, but we're listening to single sideband in our headphones right now. We're being RF'd. It's fun to be RF'd. I like being RF'd, you know. They should set a minimum daily requirement that you have to have a certain amount of RF every day. It'd be exposed to a certain amount of RF every day. Also with us is Charles. Charles is Dr. Barrett is the owner of the antenna company, TW Antennas, and Charles is his father. Hi there. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
And are you enjoying all this today so far?
I'm enjoying it all. Of course, we've already enjoyed it all week. We took antennas up and put them down all week over here, so getting ready for field day. So I guess we're operating now.
Well, how many antennas did you wind up? You said you had to take some down. So, I mean,
we took two off in the tower, put two back up on the tower, and we set up two in the yard. So we've worked on four this week. Well, and in the meantime, we was doing work on our prototype 8020. So we've been pretty well covered up this week.
Well, I had a guy email me last night at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they were putting antennas up. Everybody all over the country, people are up all night long working on antennas. I was really amazed because I thought we were the only people up at that hour, but from emails coming in from just everywhere talking about the things they were doing. Once again, we want to mention we are on the air live. This is Field Day 2008. Field Day is a function of the American Radio Relay League, and this is a function of clubs and Field Day groups from all over the United States of America. And we're going to be hearing reports in from folks basically every square inch of the country. You were going to say something, James.
Oh,
now you forgot.
I forgot, but I do know now. I started out at 6:30 yesterday morning, and I left here at 10 o'clock last night.
I don't know what our hours were. I can't even keep track. We've been going around. But that's the way it is. Field Day is fun. It's a lot of hours, a lot of people put in time. And for those that have just tuned in, if you aren't familiar with what we're talking about, and you're saying, what are they talking about? Field Day is an exercise of amateur radio operators. It's a real strange mix. It's actually a party is what it is. Hams get together. They have more fun. And like I was talking to, when I was talking to Alan Pitts, I said, we have more fun than the law allows. I don't think he liked that, but that was okay. But what we do is hams set up emergency power. They go out in the woods. They go out in the field. They set up in shopping centers, a Walmart parking lot. And these guys are set up on the beach out here in California. And what they described was just phenomenal. But we set up, operate with emergency power. We put up makeshift antennas. And it's just like as if there were a disaster, if there were a major earthquake and we lost power, you know, everywhere, lost normal lines of communication. That's what Field Day is all about. And, of course, all these clubs compete for points, how many stations can they work, and they get special points for operating under different types of power, if you're operating under battery power. And I have heard of generator power, where a guy's on a bicycle, you know, doing the bicycle thing. I don't know what kind of how many extra points you get for that, but that's all emergency power. So we're operating off of batteries, off of generators, off of solar power. All of this is a simulation of an emergency, and it gives us a chance to see how many places we can work, how many points we can score, how efficient we are at emergency communications, which helps justify the amateur radio service. And believe me, when you see something happen, like a huge tornado comes through, and you have power out in a wide area, you have flooding like in Katrina, the fires out in California, where a lot of times emergency communication is down. The police have trouble with their communications, the phone system's down, the actual power is down, everything is down. We then really shine. Then you understand why these guys are so busy putting antennas up in trees and doing all of that. Okay, we have somebody with us here on ready to go. Okay, here we go. Here, hello there.
Hello.
Well, welcome to QSO and Field Day 2008, and you're calling from
Ruidoso, New Mexico.
You're in New Mexico.
Yes, sir.
And I am speaking with who?
Catherine Stone, KE5 Mike Whiskey Kilo.
Well, hello there, and thank you so much for calling and joining us. And
thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your field day setup.
Well, we're the Sierra Blanca Amateur Radio Club. We're on we're a public land. We're actually at a school, in the middle of a school field. We have the GOTA station, our HF, CW. We run in the 2A division, and for the past 3 years, we've been number one in our division.
My goodness. So
we're ready to camp out and rock all night.
So how many folks do you have on board there with you?
We probably have about 25 total operators. They're going to be kind of coming and going. We have about six all-nighters.
I can hear stuff in the background. Where are you physically located there?
I'm in our communications van. We actually built a van that has everything in it from packet. We have slow scan, fast scan, packet, and right now we're running CW out of the van right now.
I can hear the CW in the background. I can't copy it over the phone, but I can hear it running. Well, now, tell us some things about it. Give me some names of some folks that are with you there, what their call signs are.
I have Gray Wilfong. He is KE5 Mike Whiskey Mike. I have Rick Soule. He would be K5 RIC. I have Wayne Greaves, W0ZW. Tim Pettibone, K5OI. And I'm not sure what Jim's last name is, but he is W5ZIT.
Okay, now I've got a lot going on here, so if I sound distracted, that's because I am.
That's quite all right.
I also suffer from ADD, so I may get off on a different subject on you here real quick. Okay, now the question I have for you is how many stations do you have set up there? You may have already told me this.
We have 2HF, we have a GOTA, we have we are running a packet station. We have a slow scan and fast scan station.
Very, very good. Now, where exactly in New Mexico are you located? You mentioned your town name.
Okay. Yeah, let's see. We are north of El Paso, Alamogordo. I don't know if you know where that's at. South of Albuquerque.
Well, very, very good. Now,
we're out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, that's a good place to be on field
day. Yeah.
Now what is your position there with your local club or organization there? What is your position?
I'm the PIO, Public Information Officer.
There you go. Well, you're doing a good job today. I can tell you that right now.
Our little club, we have 43 members, and we actually help out in the community. We have a horse endurance race that we provide radio support for, century bike race, and the ski run road challenge, as well as the disaster relief team and search and rescue. So we're pretty active.
Well, how active are you folks in search and rescue? Have you been called out very many times to participate in that?
About maybe three times last year. We provide radio support, though, all the time for the disaster relief. The Gateway Church here, they go out to the fires and give, if we have fires in the local area, and we actually provide water and food and so forth to the firemen.
Well, very, very good. I want you to say hello to my friend here, Michael, Dr. Barrett. He's the fellow that is actually one of the sponsors of this operation that we've got going here. He's with the TW Antenna Company. They're doing field day here. Why don't you say hello to him real quick?
Hello, Mike.
Hello. We're good to hear from
you.
I guess that's the What is New Mexico? Is it the land of enchantment? Is that the motto?
Wait a second here. I know what the problem is. Now talk to her. I had to switch off.
Oh, he had me turned off. I said, it's good to talk to New Mexico. We haven't worked New Mexico yet, Ted, so I guess I get credit for this. What is New Mexico's state motto, the land of enchantment? Is that right?
That is correct.
All right.
Is that legal? To work New Mexico on WBCQ, can we do? Can we?
We're not going to log it in the official log, Ted. How about that?
What's your and your station call out there, Catherine? What
is? Mine. The station call is KR 5NM.
That's KR.
Mm-hmm.
KR 5NM.
Yes.
And I guess the NM stands for New Mexico.
Yes, it does.
Well, I appreciate you calling. Is there any other highlights? Is there any other folks you have around there that you'd like to put on and let them talk to us a bit? Or is there anything else?
Let me see if I can find someone for you real quick.
Okay. So how is the field day operation going in here? How are we?
We're on the air QRV and QRO. So I don't think there's a QRP station to be found today, Ted. There's
hold enough, on, I have someone coming right now.
All right.
There's enough RF going out there that I'm tasting copper when I walk through it.
Well, I'm sitting here in the headphones. And I know it's not going out on the air, but it's really amusing here listening to this because I'm hearing, you know.
I have one of our, a visitor coming. She's actually here from Albuquerque.
Okay.
Her name is Judy, and here she is. Yeah, we're on the radio station.
We're on the radio.
This way?
No. Hello.
This is WB5LYJ.
Hello, Judy.
Hi.
My name is Ted. And we have also with us Dr. Michael Barrett on the phone with you here, and we're broadcasting on WBCQ on 7415 kilohertz, which is a very powerful shortwave station out of Monticello, Maine, and we're having a lot of fun talking to folks all over the country here and talking all about field day. So you came out to visit, or are you a member of the club?
Actually, my husband and I are hams, and we were going to set up our own ham radio station and got stuck in the mud, so we decided to join these folks.
Oh, that sounds like a good thing. Well, where did you get stuck at?
Well, we've got stuck at our land out in Rancho de Santero, which isn't too far from Ruidoso.
So, where were you headed to set up at? What kind of thing were you setting up? Were you going to do field day today?
Absolutely. We're going to do field day, and we have my husband and I have a couple of radios, and we were going to set up on 20 meters and 40 meters and hopefully work the world.
Well, you know, that's the true spirit of it, but it sounds to me like you found a good organization to hook up with here. It sounds like you've solved your problem.
Absolutely. Not only did they get us out of the mud, but we're joining them in ham radio, so we're having a blast.
Well, I've got Dr. Michael Barrett here with me. Say hello to Michael here. And Michael is the owner of the TW Antenna Company. They've got a field day location set up here. Michael, tell her a little bit about what we're doing here. Give her the call sign here.
Well, the call sign is November 4, Echo Charlie Whiskey. We've got a... Oh, me. I guess about 8 stations set up with about 4 operators going at any given time, and they're working everything from 70 centimeter to even 80 meters. Of course, propagation is not even good on 80 meters in the daytime, but they seem to be making quite a few contacts. I don't think they've worked New Mexico yet, Ted, but I've been in here with you for a few minutes, so maybe they're working down into the southwest. She mentioned she's in we call it Ruidoso, but that's incorrect pronunciation. But they have, I believe, horse races there, and there's different collectibles that come out of there. She might speak to the, if they have, it's Reducio Downs, I believe, but I think they have horse races out there, and I'm familiar with that.
That's Roger. They actually, I'm from Albuquerque, but they do have Ruidoso Downs where they have quite a bit of horse racing, and they also have Fly Ski Apache, where they do a lot of, in the wintertime, they do a lot of skiing. So it's kind of a year-round fun resort for everybody. Over.
And let me ask a question here. Give us your call sign again, so I got it, but I didn't.
It's a Whiskey Bravo 5 Lima Yankee Juliet WB5 LYJ.
WB5
LYJ Lima Yankee Juliet.
See, we're operating. We're doing the typical field day thing with no sleep, you know, and so you get to a point where the brain goes on QRP, you know, and you're trying. And your husband's call sign, why don't you give us that as well while you're here?
Yeah, my husband Jay, his call sign is Whiskey 5, Whiskey Hotel November, W5WHN.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you joining us here. And I guess you could put Catherine back on the phone, and man, I have a good field day. And I think
you're with a very
good group there today. I think you're with a good bunch of folks. It sounds like they're really going to have some fun today.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm going to go back and operate. Over.
All righty. I don't know. I think they hung up. Well, that was. That was Catherine, and I believe the last name is it Stone? Somebody wrote this down. I can't. Is it either Stone or Store? But Catherine, if you're listening, thank you so much for calling in. Once again, Field Day 2008, and this is a function of the American Radio Relay League. We're on WBCQ, and we're live, and we're in Cookeville, Tennessee, and we're operating out of I want to call it the TW Antenna Command Center.
That's pretty good, Ted. If anybody, I don't know if you've described where you are, but you're in the inner sanctum. You have block walls that have been drywalled over. Fairly nice facility here, but you're underground. I mean, you could probably take a nuclear blast here and keep going. So you're backed up against the innermost part of the command center here. So. If anything untimely happens, I think you can probably stay on the air here.
Well, you know, that's one of the cool things about Field Day, and that is you get out with a bunch of hams, and you know the mind begins to wander about what all the possibilities what you could possibly run into in a real life situation, and. You begin to realize two things. You realize how fragile our communication system is and our power grids and all those kind of things, and just exactly how vulnerable we all are, and what a good thing it is to have, you know, a whole group of MacGyvers who can make just about anything work out of anything.
Ted, we're running pretty much state-of-the-art equipment. I mean, solid-state equipment here. But we have another contingent, believe it or not, where we have a Collins equipment. We have Hallicrafters equipment. We have stuff out of the 60s that would survive an EM pulse, and we could change over here. I'm not a survivalist, and I'm not expecting Armageddon. But if the EM pulse did ever come, we could swap over to the tubes and start glowing and still communicate if there's anybody left to communicate to.
Well, actually, you know, you could get real innovative in a real pinch and come up with something that involves a spark gap if necessary. You know. I've heard of those kind of operations before. Tell me a little bit though about your. Tell me a little bit about your early days in ham radio. Where did you ever first run into amateur radio?
Well, I would say bifurcated, Ted. I started out as a kid. I mean, 8, 9 years old. Back when you got a novice ticket for a year, and you either had to upgrade or that was it. And so I had a 1 year novice ticket, and it expired on me, and I didn't renew it, and I kind of the life caught up with me, and ended up getting involved in high school activities and college and family and so on and so forth. So I didn't pick ham back up till about 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, and went through by then it was No Code Tech by the time I got back in, and then of course went on to General, and of course Morse Code was still tested for when I upgraded. So I had a love for radio for a long time, but there was about a good 30-year break there for me from the time I started till the time I got back, and then of course it was just as exciting to me in the later years as it was in the early years. Of course, you've got the internet and you've got cell phones, it's not as techy as it once was, but I think that's changing. And next thing you know, I was designing antennas and putting together different types of ham gear, and one thing led to another. Now we've got TW antennas, and I'm having the time of my life, Ted. I don't know. Some guys hunt, some guys fish, some guys golf, and I radio, and it's just a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, it's and for young people today, I guess I want to say that this is the ideal thing for a young person to get involved in, because it can take you basically through your whole life almost and provide you with what you wouldn't get any other way. Both of my sons are licensed hams, and they both work in engineering, and they would not be where they are. They wouldn't hold down the jobs they have if it hadn't have been for their background, or you know, an extensive background in ham radio, and hanging around all of us geeks, you know.
Well, one thing that I think a lot of us hams forget is ham radio has something for everybody. I mean, there's amateur television. There's all the digital modes. Of course, there's the normal, you know, set up a home station. But a lot of folks now are taking a ham radio to hiking and camping and on vacation, and not just just the regular mobile stations, but setting up portable stations. And so there's a lot of different things in ham radio that sometimes we forget, and there's different ways to engage in ham radio that's other than just you know, sitting in the ham shack and talking on 75, 80 meters at night. So we get set in our ways, but I think if we would you know, kind of lift up our eyes and look out there, there's a lot of new and exciting things in ham radio. My most recent adventure, Ted, is ATV. I'm just starting in ATV and looking forward to doing something with that. Before that, it was PSK 31. So if you just keep abreast of what's going on out there, there's always something new, always something exciting to do and to talk about.
Have you ever played with slow scan at all?
I have not. I know it's out there. I've read about it, but I have not done slow scan.
Oh, the first time I ever saw slow scan, I was real young, and that was so impressive. It took a little while for that picture to develop, but then to think that it was coming all the way across the country. Of course, now we snap.